Hello. Hey, good morning, church. How we doing? Hey. You guys picked a fantastic weekend to come to church because we are having our family service this weekend. Yes, y'all. And as you can see, I have a bunch of my friends on stage. We have our kids worship team leading us in worship this morning. Let's give them some praise. It's been an awesome summer. And for some of you, you're just getting back in town, and some of you stayed locked in this entire summer, and we're so grateful for that. But this weekend in particular, we're going to take a moment. We're going to pause. We're going to see God's faithfulness throughout our summer. We're going to hear of some fun stats and some fun things that God did through this church over the summer in the lives of our young ones specifically. We're going to have a time of worship with our children leading us. We're going to hear from some students and their testimony of how they served in missions. We're going to hear from our students' people. We're going to see Debbie and Aaliyah. They're going to give us some fun numbers to celebrate the work that God's been doing. We're going to celebrate in baptisms after this, y'all, and we're going to end our service on that, and we're going to fellowship this weekend. Are we having a good time, church? We're so grateful that you're with us today, and we're so grateful that our kids' worship team is leading us this morning. So whatever you came in with, I just want to pray that you guys don't use that as a distraction to not lock in and engage with us in this time, because these kids are ready and willing to lead us in a word and in a time of worship. Are you guys ready? Are we ready to have a good time? All right, let's join in worship, folks. Let's join in.
Come on, church, let's chant this together. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise in the valley. Praise on the mountain. worship today, remembering all the faithfulness of God. Come on, let's sing together. I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I am held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life, all my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness. Led me through the fire in darkest nights. You were close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God.
It's running after me. With my life laid down and surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness, Lord, your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running.
Sing all my life. It's running out to me. Amen. Let's give it up for this team. Thank you guys for leading us.
All right. Good morning, everyone. We love getting to worship with Kids Worship Team. If your kids are interested in signing up to serve with Kids Worship Team, we have more information for you on your way out. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah, there's some little cards out there on our carts, and you can grab one of those. And it's for kids that are first grade and up. Our Kids Worship Teams are. All right. Go ahead and say hello to somebody and take a seat. All right, feels good to have a nice full room today, and we're thankful to have you guys here for our family service. We're gonna go ahead and invite the ushers up to begin receiving our offering. And just a reminder, you guys, the offering is for those who call HDC their church home, something that we do as a church family to support the ministry that our church does, and also just an act of obedience that we are, you know, weekly reminding ourselves that everything we have belongs to the Lord, and just a way that, yeah, we obediently trust Him. So my name's Debbie, and I have the privilege of overseeing our kids ministry here at HDC.
And my name's Aaliyah, and I get to work with our second through sixth graders here at the Victorville campus. So do we have any second through sixth graders in the room, or kinder through sixth grade? Are you here? Make some noise. I know you can. Woo! It's so good to see you guys up here in Big Church. We're so excited you're here. We're going to have a lot of fun this morning. First, we want to let you know some things that are going on here at HDC.
Yeah, so we have an event coming up for our student ministry. So that's 7th through 12th grade, and it is called We Run the Night. And this is a service that is put on by our students. So our students, they teach, they lead worship. And so it's kind of our kickoff, you guys, into our small group season for our students. So we'd encourage you guys, text the word RUN to 64567 for more information on that. And parents, you're invited too. So we encourage parents to come to that. We'll have a parent section and also a parent meeting where you can get to know our student team and more information about the year ahead.
Yes, absolutely. We also have a missionary meet and greet happening next Sunday here at the Victorville campus at 3 o'clock. It's for Jacob and Mercy Roberts, who actually are from HDC, and we're really excited to be supporting them as they're getting ready to start their missionary journey. And so if you want to hear more about that, how God called them and their family into the mission field, and even hear how you can support them, you can join us next week at 3 o'clock. We would love for you to RSVP on our website at the events page so we can make sure we have enough snacks, which is very important to make sure we have enough food for you guys. So we would love to see you there. Now I want to know, of all of the kids and even adults and teenagers in the room, maybe you were there too, raise your hand really high if you were at Summer Blast this year. Who was at Summer Blast? All right, we have a lot of you. So you probably know this already, but everyone else doesn't. We are going to learn our Summer Blast memory verse together. So we need everyone to stand up.
All right,
adults
and while
included.
You're stretching and standing up, I did want to let you guys know, in case you did not hear on the way coming in, our kids' ministry up through preschool is open today. So if your little ones get too squirmy and you're like, oh my goodness, I thought there was no kids' ministry, our nursery is open up to 2 years old over here, and then preschool, so all the way up till right before kindergarten, is open in our kids' building. Okay.
All right.
You ready?
Everyone standing. First, we want to introduce our friend Madeline. Can everyone say hi, Madeline? She is going to help teach you guys the memory verse. So I'm gonna say it, and you guys are gonna repeat after me. It has hand motions. Are you guys ready? You can do this. Adults too, you can do this. They'll help you memorize this verse. Okay, here we go. You think they're ready? Okay, here we go. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Oh magnify.
Oh,
that's where you
magnify.
Repeat after me. Okay, good. The Lord.
The Lord.
With me.
With me.
Let us exalt.
Let us exalt.
His name.
His name.
Together.
Together.
And we make our hands like a Bible and say Psalm 34:3.
Psalm 34:3.
Good job. That was awesome. Okay. We're going to try to put it all together. Do you guys think you can handle that? I think you can. We were off to a rough start, but I think you got it. Okay. Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me.
Let us exalt his name together.
Psalm 34:3.
Give yourselves a round of applause. That was great. And let's thank Madeline.
Thanks,
thank you.
Madeline.
All right, you guys can take a seat.
All right.
Thank you for doing that with us. We had so much fun at Summer Blast this year. We actually want to tell you a bit more about that. So this summer at Summer Blast, I believe we have a slide. Yes, we had 771 kids attend Summer Blast, which was awesome. And over 300 leaders, which is adults and teens from HGC that took time out of their schedule to be here and be caring for those kids. Coming out of Summer Blast, we had 216 kids tell us that they had made the decision to follow Jesus for the first time, which was awesome. We were so excited about that. And Summer Blast is for kids kinder through sixth grade, so we were just delighted to host them for that week. We also had an event called Summer Storytime for our younger kids, and we had over 700 kids and parents come to Summer Storytime. We had two different ones, which was record-breaking for us. That was the biggest we had ever had, and we had lots of fun at that.
All right, and then we also, you guys, we went to summer camp. HGC is really big about summer camp and getting our kids that are in fifth grade and up away for a week. And so we took over 400 kids to summer camp, which is super exciting. We were able to do that this year. And 74 counselors who took a week off. A lot of our counselors even use vacation time to get to be a part of this because it is that life-changing. But what I want to draw our attention to is that camp is very expensive. So we have a lot of families at our church that their kids rely on the help of our church family to get their kids to camp. And you guys gave over $137,000 for kids to get to camp this year, which is really exciting. And so, yeah, we continue to hear stories from parents about how that week away impacted their kids and their faith. And so thanks for being a part of that.
Absolutely. And then our students went on some missions trips. We had two different trips that happened this summer, a trip to Rainbow Acres and a trip to San Francisco. And we know many of you even supported them financially and through prayer, the students that went. And so we just want to thank you for that. We know that the people they were serving were really impacted by their service, and then the kids as well. You're even going to get to hear from some of them today. So we had such a great summer. We love telling you, we love showing you the numbers, but even more importantly, we'd love to show you on the screen. So turn your attention to the screen.
I was stuck inside that grave a long time. Didn't think I'd make it through those long nights. But you never late, you always on time. Remember when you got me out there? You got me out that. And now I see your blessings every day. Thankful that your kingdom's on the way. Angels all around me, hear them sing like, oh. I'll never get used to this. I'll never get used to this. This is how I wanna live. Forever we'll be singing like, oh. Rock about the grave, yeah, I'm alive now. Told the devil, boy, you out of time now. Spirit moving in me, on my fire now. I know it won't ever die. It won't ever die. And now I see your blessings, see your blessings. I'll never get used to this. This is how I wanna live. Forever we'll be singing like,
what's up, HDC? Hey, my name is Reggie. I'm the student director here at our Victorville campus, and I am so excited that we get to all be in here together celebrating what God has done over the summer. God's been doing some awesome things. Yes, church? You guys saw that recap up there. I want to acknowledge a few people in this room because we couldn't have pulled off any of that without our leaders and our volunteers. So I'm gonna do this. If you have led or volunteered in student or kids ministry in any capacity, the other services, I had them raise their hands, but I'm gonna ask you all to stand up. Stand up for me. This is a big service. Everyone stand up. If you have volunteered, I need everybody to give it up for these individuals who have loved on your kids, spent time with them. You guys could take a seat. Thank you so much. But they've done things like Summer Blast, Summer Story Time. They took your kids on summer camp. Yeah, that's a big one, y'all. So, man, they have been there. And there's one intentional thing that we do during summer that's kind of different than the rest. It's geared more to being not just kind of having fun and hearing about God's word, but it's more about what does it mean to be the hands and feet of Christ? And that's our missions trips. If you saw like junior high, they go to Arizona. They go and they help out at the Rainbow Acres Ranch. What we do for high school is we take them to San Francisco. We take them to San Francisco, and we've been partnering with this organization, City Impact. And what it is, it's the Tenderloin District that they're focusing on. And if you want to put it in perspective, it's like Skid Row of L.A. So it really is the homeless, those on the streets. It's actually those also in the buildings that are kind of the shut-ins. They won't actually come outside, but they're dealing with the same destructive tendencies, the same lack of resources as well. And we actually go out there, and we provide for them. We go out there and we actually go door to door meeting them, trying to impact them. And instead of me telling you specifically what the students are firsthand, I want you guys to hear it from a live testimony from some of our students who actually lived it. Give it up for Kira and Liam. Right here, guys, right here. So Liam, Kira, brother, sister combo.
Yes.
First time missionaries. I love that. Tell me... You know, how did you guys even want to join this trip? How did that even happen, right, Liam?
Crazy story. So I was literally, I just went to midweek. Like, I thought it was going to be like a regular old midweek, you know, just worshiping and, you know, going to small group and everything. So we were in worship, and I feel this shoulder on my back, and I think to myself, God, is this my calling? Is this my time? But it ended up being Reggie. And he brought me and my friends after service, and he was like, why are you not going to San Francisco? And so, yeah, just like that. That's how it came.
Nice. I promised you $20 if you came up with a better story, but now you're out of 20 bucks, bro. So, Kira, how did you end up coming on this trip?
So that same Wednesday night, we come home, and Liam comes up to our parents and is like, guys, I have to go to San Francisco for this mission trip. And then my mom's scrolling on her phone, and she's like, okay, you can go, but she's going with you. You're not going by yourself. And so my mom made me go, and I ended up going to San Francisco to take care of this guy.
So, fantastic. Just so you guys know, so intentionally, these trips are geared for students to really just level up in their faith. Like, if you are here living out your faith, but you want to really level up, you go out on mission. You get out of your comfort zone. And I saw him and his buddies worshiping over off in the corner. They're not even, like, front and center. And I'm like, why aren't you guys on this trip? Like, why aren't you guys going? So... I forced him to go, kind of. But, and Kira, you were like, your parents are like, you just got to keep this guy alive.
And then you did.
Very good. He's here. Very good. So, if you guys could describe your trip in like one word, what would that be? Liam, go.
Okay. So I think one word to describe my trip, I would pick impactful. And the reason why I think it was impactful for me is because like I went into this trip and I was expecting to like impact others, if that makes sense. Like I was going for other people, but it ended up impacting me and my faith way more than I thought it was. So, yeah, impactful.
Impactful. Love that. Love that. Kira, one word, your trip. Why?
Yes. So, for me, my one word would 100% have to be the word transformative, because I saw so many lives transform on this trip. I saw people at their lowest move towards God. I saw my friends grow in their faith. But most of all, God showed me how much brokenness there is in the world. And that can be a really awful thing. But not only that, God showed me that he heals that brokenness, which is the ultimate transformation.
Love that. Impactful. Transformative. Love that. You guys did a lot of different things out there. I know I can't even give the audience a little sneak peek into that. But for you personally, what was a moment that stuck with you guys that you guys kind of just even... contemplate even later on? Like, what is a moment that stuck with you guys?
Okay, so one moment from the trip that I still think about to this day. If you know anything about me, I'm a little bit like introverted, and so going up to people is a little bit scary. So on one of the days, City Impact had this like, they had a line of Tenderloin residents, and they were handing out food to them. And they also had another group of students going up to these people and praying for them. And so with my luck, I ended up being one of those people. And so I happened to go up to someone and praying for them, which is something I've never done in my life. And so it was a big step for me.
Nice, man. So first time outwardly praying, somebody you didn't know. Love that. I love that. Kira, you, moment that stuck with you. Go.
I love this question because I have the perfect moment to share. It was on about day four of the trip, Reggie asked me to share my testimony at the church service that City Impact sets up for the residents. And I was doing something else, I was making meals, and I like look up, make straight eye contact with him, and he goes, and I walk over and I'm like, oh, I know what he's gonna say. And he's like, you're gonna share your testimony, you have like 10 minutes, and then people are gonna come and you're gonna share it. Oh my gosh, I was so nervous. Even though it's my testimony, I didn't know what I was going to say or how I was going to say it. But once I got up there, that wasn't me speaking at that point. That was the Holy Spirit speaking through me, which is something that I had never experienced before. And it was so beautiful. And then after, we were handing out the meals to people who had attended the service. And this man asked me, he said, hey, were you up there reading? Because along with my testimony, I also read from Psalms. And I said, hi, yes, sir, I was. And he asked me, he said, do you guys have a Bible that I can have? Because I want to read like how you did. I'm sorry, I'm going to cry. Because I am just so moved that I was able to inspire somebody to pick up the Word of God. Sorry.
Good job, Kira. Good job. So what they'll do, City Impact, they'll actually have these resources where they will have people at a certain point in time. They'll come out and they'll collect food. But in that collection process, you'll be able to go out and they'll be handing out food. They'll have a church service running simultaneously. So it'll be like, hey, yes, you can come in and get some physical nourishment, but we have spiritual nourishment for you as well. And during those times, yes, I gave Kira zero time to prepare because they gave me zero time. They're like, we need two students to give their testimonies. It's like, you, come here. You got that, Kira. Good. And honestly, same thing. The Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in and through you, impacted other people for someone to be like, I've never read the Bible. I want to read the Bible because you are reading the Bible. Just an awesome, beautiful thing. So proud of you guys. If you guys could say, how has this trip helped grow your faith even after you've left San Francisco?
Yeah. So like kind of like how I said, like I had this like, I guess like introverted little spiritual bubble before this trip. But right after I went up to that guy and prayed for him, like, it's like everything changed for me. Like, I'm now able to talk about my faith. I'm able to preach. I'm able to talk to even random people that I've never talked to in my life about my faith, when before I could barely even talk about that with my friends. So it's just like such a huge transformation. And all it took was one little thing, like one little talking to someone ended up changing my like whole life. So
love it. That's right. Kira. Awesome moment. San Francisco, how has that grown your faith afterwards?
In San Francisco, even though we were only there for 5 days, my faith grew so much. Because God showed me that even though I'm only 15, I'm so much more than just a teenager. And I'm so much more than just a student. And I had never saw myself in that way before. But he showed me that I'm capable of sharing the gospel. And that good news is what brings people joy. And that good news changes people's lives. And the fact that I can change people's lives just by sharing that, that's not my business at all. That is all God's doing. And I would not be able to do any of that without God. So my faith grew so much on that trip.
Love that. Give it up. Church, can we just one more time just give it up for Liam and Kira being willing to come out here. We are so proud of you guys. Thank you so much, guys. HDC, God is doing amazing things in this next generation. We have this saying in student ministries that you are not just the future of the church, that you're the church now. Like, you are not just going to be part of the church someday when you get older. You have a place. You have a purpose. You have a calling now to do something out of your comfort zone for the glory of God. You know what I love about Kira and Liam is like they didn't wait till they were older. They didn't wait till they were more experienced or had all the answers. They made themselves available and stepped out in faith, and God used them. 2025, it's been a big year, y'all. There's been a lot of awesome and amazing things that have happened. And I want to share something that happened on the San Francisco trip when I was up there. So that's right. That's my grandbaby, y'all. So Ivan and Sabrina got married last year. They had their grandbaby this year. I didn't know they were doing this picture, and I love this. This is my favorite picture, y'all, right here. Do you see that? I love that. That is my grandbaby. Just so you know, in the Filipino culture, we don't have grandma and grandpas. We have Lola and Lolos, so that's Lolo Reggie, y'all, just so you know, okay? So that's right, that's right. Parents, I know we got parents. We got kiddos in this room. I know for a fact you would do anything for your kids, yes? You would do anything to see them succeed. Grandparents, if you're in here with your grandkids, you know for a fact you'd do anything for those guys, right? We have been in this series of Jesus being the focus of our developing, of the developing story, right? In the context of the biblical lens, right? Kind of the Old Testament foreshadowing and then being fulfilled in Christ in the New Testament. But I want to bring that home a little bit. What does it look like when we make Jesus the focus point of your developing story, of your developing family? What does that look like when you make him that focus? That's the heart behind today's message. And when it comes to faith and family, let me ask you, parents, what are you guys aiming at? What are you guys really going towards? And if you've been around me long enough, I normally use this, like, what's your goal? Because deep down, for every parent, whether you admit it or not, there's this hidden fear where you don't want to fail, right? You don't want to fail. Like, I don't want to just lead. I want to lead well. I don't want to just parent. I want to parent well. Like, I ain't just trying to be a Lolo. I'm trying to be the best Lolo. You feel me? So what is your goal, parents? What are you aiming at? Because if you don't know how to answer that question, how do you know if you're on the right track? How do you know if, oh, I'm kind of off track, I need to get back on that? How do you know if you can't answer what the actual goal is? Here it is, church. I'm going to give you one, okay? Don't aim to raise good kids. Aim to raise godly ones. Help me out, church. Don't aim to raise what? Good kids. Aim to raise godly ones. That's right, church. Let me clarify this too. Godly doesn't mean superior, all right? It's not about superiority. It's about children who know Jesus personally and live out their faith publicly. Children who love God and love others, they're not just well-behaved. Sure, we want them to be well-behaved, but that's not all we're looking at. Parents, if we miss that mark, if we give them everything but we fail to give them Jesus, we've missed the point, y'all. HDC, we're in this for a higher purpose, y'all. We're raising world changers, not spectators. You feel me? 2 Timothy 1, 5 through 9 is where we're going to be at. And this is the Apostle Paul talking to his protege, Timothy, okay? If you got your Bibles, you can open them up. It's going to be on the screen as well. But it starts like this in verse 5. It says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, I'm now persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of many hands. For the Spirit of God gave us, does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Paul recognizes and gives props to Timothy on how he was raised. And the first thing he points out is his parents and his, or I say his mom and his grandmother. So here, write this down in your notes. Model your faith at home. Model your faith at home. HDC families, we live out the faith that we want our kids to have. We live that out first. Y'all, I don't know if you guys have lived through this stage yet, but when your kids start driving, that's a terrifying stage, y'all. Just saying. I mean, depending on the kid, it might still be terrifying, but it's really scary at that point. Here it is. A few hours with the driving instructor teaches them maybe the basics, okay? But kids learn how to drive by watching you and practicing with you daily. They're gonna do that by living with you guys. The same is true about your faith. We have this vision statement. I know it's in the top of your notes as well. Partnering with parents to prepare kids and students to provide opportunities to change their world for Christ. I'm gonna focus on that partnering with parents portion that it says, we recognize that you are the primary spiritual leaders of your home, not us, just so you know that. They might spend a few hours with us a week. Yes, they might spend a whole week with us at camp, at missions, but they're gonna go back to live with y'all. They're gonna go back to live with you. Faith begins with you guys, not us, because every kid, every student's gonna grow past our ministry, but you're gonna forever be their family. Paul didn't give props to Timothy's childhood rabbi. He gave props to his mom and his grandma. He says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now lives in you. If Jesus is the focus of our developing family, just, you know, looking at his example, he never did anything he didn't, or didn't ask his disciples to do anything that he didn't model first. In John chapter 13, he shows like, hey, his disciples, this is what it means to be a servant. I'm gonna get on my hands and knees and I'm gonna wash your feet. I'm gonna show you what that looks like. And in verse 15, he says, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. He intentionally modeled this and said, now you go out and do it. Parents, how do your kids see you? What do they really see when they look at you? Do they see you living out your faith as a servant? Do they see you loving God and loving others? Do they see you reading your Bible? Do they see you worshiping? I want you to know, parents, not everybody has it together. This is not about being perfect. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. But it means being real with yourself. Being real with yourself. Being willing to grow. Being honest that you actually need to do better. I love you guys, and I love you guys enough to tell you the truth. So I might lean into parents a little bit harder today, okay? But we as a church, we understand the value of partnering with you and allowing you to be the spiritual authority of your children's life. There is a specific stage when they start seeing you differently, when they start recognizing, do you really practice what you preach? And that's like in junior high. They start realizing like, wait, do my parents really worship in church? Do my parents really pay attention in church? Do my parents go to small groups? Because they keep telling me I should go to small groups. It's going to be a real thing for you to recognize how important that is. Your kids don't need a spiritual expert. They just need a spiritual example, y'all. Timothy's mom, his grandma, they weren't experts. They were just sincere about their faith, which propelled Timothy forward to follow after. Will lead to that next fill-in in your notes, to mobilize the next generation. Mobilize the next generation. Equip your kids for Christ today, not just someday, church. For some in here, I know. Man, I know you hustle to get your kids to practice on time, to get your kids to recital, to get them to the game, to get them to the match, right? You hustle to make sure they're there. That's not a bad thing. But then when it comes to like Wednesday night youth group, you're like, oh man, we too busy for that. We don't got time for that. Yo, we train them to compete, yes, but we're preparing them to stand firm in Christ. Sure. Let them do all those other things, but are they really prepared in their walk with God? I know sometimes we shelter them out of fear, but I want you to know, those kids, this generation, is a lot stronger than you think. And one day, whether we like it or not, they're gonna stand without us. So we need to know to make sure they can stand well. Sure, train their athletic skills, train their athletic ability, but don't forget to strengthen their souls as well, parents. A long time ago, we had these parenting conferences here, and I remember because me and my family, we were always trying to make sure we were there to get the best advice we can, and there was a quote that stuck with me. Pastor Ray Johnston from Bayside Church, he came down, and he said, to prepare the kid for the road, not the road for the kid, which means don't shelter them and close them off from the world and this culture, but prepare them to effectively engage in it. This is why we tell our students, yo, you are not just the future of the church, you're the church now. They're the what church? They're the church of now. Debbie and Aaliyah, they spoke of the We Run the Night, right? This is an event, August 20th, We Run the Night. This is our small group kickoff. This is where small group registration goes live. And we are intentionally developing students to lead that entire program. That entire program, students are going to be the ones hosting, doing games, leading worship, giving God's word. We are teaching them now to do that, not just someday. Parents, I want you to know, we are inviting you guys. Please be there. Come champion your kiddos. There's a few nights where I feel like we specifically invite you there. These are one of those nights. Come and see what happens. This is what we talk about when we say preparing students. Yo, we're not training the next generation of competitors. We're mobilizing this generation of soldiers, church. That's what we're doing. We're equipping them to fight the real fight against the enemy, against his lies, to stand firm in a light, to be the light in the darkness, to be love in a world of hate, to live boldly for the glory of God. That is what we are teaching these kids to do in this next generation. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. In verse 7, he says, for the Spirit of God gave us not to make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. We've been saved, church, not to sit on the sidelines. We've been saved to take action. Psalms 123, 3 and 4 tells us that children are a heritage from the Lord, an offspring, a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Our job as parents is to propel our kids forward. Propel them forward to be efficiently prepared in this world to engage. Parents, if I were to ask you, do you feel like you are intentionally preparing your kids to engage in this world? Students, let me ask you, because you're in here too. Do you feel like you are prepared, if you were to step out, that you can engage this world effectively for the glory of God? Hey, busy schedules aren't all bad. I want to make that clear. But if you're continuously having to skip spiritual training for physical training, your priorities are mixed. Your priorities are backwards. Don't just prepare for success, prepare for significance. Students, commit to coming here on Wednesday. Parents, commit to bringing them. They need you to mobilize them and champion them forward, which leads to my next fill-in right there, to multiply your influence. Multiply your influence. Church, extend your impact through serving together. When I became a parent, I was really terrified of messing up. I think that was my biggest fear. And our prayer as a family, me and my wife, was literally, please, Lord, let these kids make better choices than we did, because we knew how bad we had screwed up growing up. And the truth is, when they reached junior high, we jumped in to serve in junior high ministry just to try to figure out how to be more prepared, because we knew how pivotal that age was, and we never realized that God had bigger things in mind, that God had bigger plans in mind. I never realized that God would actually multiply any of our influence. We volunteered for like 4 years, and at the end of that, I was blessed to be offered a full-time position here. I've been on staff now for over 7, and I promise you, church, I sat exactly where you are. If God can use me, he can use any one of you for his glory. If you are willing, if you are faithful, I promise you that. God doesn't want to just add to your influence. He wants to multiply it. He doesn't use the qualified. He uses the faithful. He doesn't use the highly experienced. He just uses those that are willing. Paul told Timothy, do not be ashamed, in verses 8 and 9, of the testimony about our Lord, or of me, of his prisoner. He says, rather join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. And I want you to know, like, we're talking about like jumping in to serve. Don't get me wrong when I say, like, come join us in our suffering, guys. Inevitably, when you have to achieve something greater, you're going to have to let go of something lesser. That's going to be uncomfortable. Inevitably, when you have to take something that means more, it means you have to put aside other things that mean less. That's what I'm going to put in a context of joining in suffering to let go. Ephesians 4:1 says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have been received. If Jesus is the focus of our developing story, church, looking at Jesus, even what he told his disciples, Matthew 28:19, he said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Continuing in Acts 1:8, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. He says, start locally, then go globally. You're going to start here, but then you're going to go there. And then you're going to go there, and then to the ends of the earth. Parents, families, how far does your influence really go? Is it just you guys? Is it just your family? That's great. Everybody has another step in their faith. I don't care how far ahead you think you are, or I don't care if you've never made one step yet. You have one more step to take. Take an honest look at your influence. Are you shaping good kids, or are you shaping godly ones? Maybe that's something we need to adjust our focus. If you're already shaping godly kids, maybe he's asking you to multiply your influence. Every one of us has a role to play in God's church. Everyone has a role to play to shape our children's faith through the way that we live and serve. And trust me, like when I say, I know what it's like to be exactly where you are, to have reservations about dropping my own kids off at certain places, at services, not knowing who they're going to actually interact with. I know what it takes to try to model your faith at home and feeling like you fail every day. I also know what it's like to see the fruit of that labor come to fruition. And I know what an honor it is to even serve with my kids now in ministry. And I want you to know, we by no means are a perfect family. You can ask anyone. But the truth is, God doesn't need perfect families. He just needs willing ones. What you do now could echo for generations, for your kids, for your grandkids, for your great-grandkids, because that's what I'm aiming at now. Step out and see how God can use you for something greater. On the back of your notes, we're specifically allowing you an opportunity to do so. You can text SERVE to 64567. You can even go on the QR codes. It's going to show you even information on our different ministries, kids ministries, student ministries. The Instagram accounts are on there as well. Don't miss the opportunity. Don't miss the target. Are you aiming to just be good? Are you aiming to be godly? Church, raise world changers, not spectators, y'all. Model your faith to your kids. Mobilize them to be the church now. Multiply your influence to go further than your own family. Let Jesus be the focus of your developing story, of your developing family. Don't miss that, HDC. Guys, we are not done with our service yet. I need you to do me a favor and give it up for Pastor Mike Roberts.
Man, I love that challenge, and we just want to put that into practice right now by just bowing our knee before God and saying, God, we need you. We need you to show up this school year. As parents, we need you. As students, we need you. As teachers or administrators, if you have a role in the school, man, we need you. And so I want us to just join together our hearts, and let's just bow before the Lord and ask. James says, you don't have because you don't ask. And so we don't want to be negligent today or any day for this school year that we don't ask God to show up in a big way. So let's bow our heads together. Let's commit this school year to our Lord. Father, we just come to you today realizing, Lord, you've called us to do the things that we need to do, and yet we know if you don't show up, Lord, we're going to be pretty disappointed, God, because raising godly kids means we need you to show up every day. And so, God, as parents, I just want to pray for every parent, every grandparent in this room. God, would you just encourage and strengthen and give wisdom and direction for each day that they seek to model, and God, to just mobilize and multiply. And Lord, I just ask God for your help, your favor for parents, grandparents, as they have influence in their kids' lives. God, I pray for students in this place. God, that you would allow this year to be a year where they don't just grow academically, they grow spiritually. They don't just become good kids, they become godly kids. And God, we would ask that their influence would extend beyond them to their peers and into this community, wherever you've called them. God, would you give them the opportunity, and would you give them the confidence, God, that they represent you in this world and that they can be ambassadors for Jesus. And so, God, we pray for your blessing, and God, even for protection. God, we know that the enemy is real, and God, he is active. And so, God, we pray for your divine protection over them as well. And then, God, we think of all the students and administrators, God, that are working in schools, be it homeschool or private school or public school. God, would you just allow those who are right in front of these kids, God, would you allow them to have a godly influence this year, that they would live the kind of lives that would just point others, the students and even other coworkers, God, that they would point them to Jesus. And so, God, we just pray for your blessing, for your favor. God, would you just go beyond what we can do on our own? God, would you just give your divine blessing on these people as we step into this next year? And so, God, we lift these things to you, and we know that you hear, we know that you care, we know you have power to act. And so, God, we submit this to you in Jesus' name. We all said, amen, amen. Well, we're going to take a little turn in our service. I want to read to you from Luke chapter 15. Jesus tells this real simple story. Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and she loses one of them. Doesn't she light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together and she says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin." And then Jesus turns the tables and he says, "In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Isn't that right? Man, there's nothing more important than our eternal salvation. And we've got some folks, some students that this summer, they wanted to make their profession of faith, their repentance, and turning to Jesus as Savior. They wanted to make it public. So they're going to be getting baptized this morning. And this is a time for us to rejoice like the angels in heaven. And so let's stand to our feet. Let's lift our voices. Let's sing. Let's clap. Let's cheer for them because God has done great things. Amen.
Sorry. let's continue celebrating today. Let's put our hands together and sing of how we've been made new. Come on, we sing. I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It wasn't my tomb till I made home. I was breathing but not alive. And all my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb. Then you called, and you called my name, and I ran out of the grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called. Mercy has saved me. Now your mercy has saved my soul. And now your freedom is all that I know. Yeah, the old man knew Jesus when I. Do we believe 2 Corinthians 5? Anyone who's in Christ Jesus is a new creation. Come on, sing it with me. I needed rescue. My sin was set. Chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. You called me citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now you're
a great morning with you guys. We are so excited all of you joined us for the family service. It would not be the family service if we didn't have some treats.
Yeah, so we have root beer floats, you guys, and we have scooped so much ice cream. So please, the line moves really fast.
Yes.
We're going to be up in the chapel, so just go up there. There's two lines. You just go in and get your root beer floats or even just plain ice cream if you want it that way. If you have kids that are in our nursery or preschool programs, please pick them up before you go to get your root beer float.
All right, well, we have had such a great morning with you guys. Thank you for being here, and we will see you next week.